got your Bible, we're going to flip over to the Old Testament tonight. We're going to look at the book of Daniel, chapter 5. We're going to look at about five verses. I'm just thinking the Lord gave me this. John Beverly. I sat down and I wrote the outline out and been with them. I've been here with you guys in bed almost. April will be a year. And if you spend any time around me at all, you notice that sometimes and everything is great. About 10 years ago, the doctor told me that I had a touch of ADHD. He asked me, he said, "What goes on in your mind?" I said, "Well, do you remember the old pinball machine and the way that the ball would get up top and bounce around backwards and forth?" He said, "I do." I said, "Well, that sort of what goes on in here, especially of a night when I go to lay down." She shook. He said, "Well, what else goes on?" I said, "You really don't want to know." Because I really don't want to know. They get off in left field every now and then. But then as I begin to sit down and read the stories of the young man today, of the handwriting on the wall, Daniel chapter 5, that old ADHD cleared up. And there was a beautiful picture as they started making their way back. It was about 20 to 6.
Life here is grand with friends.
Daniel chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 5.
Word I get from God's own word.
At Baptist Church, we had the privilege and opportunity.
Yet when I face the chilling.
Daniel chapter 5, verse 5.
Where could I go but to the Lord? The
Bible says, in the same hour.
Where could I go?
Came fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick of the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote it. Then flip over to verses 24 through 28
of Bethel Baptist Church. Our music ministries, our young people ministries, our pastoral
Daniel chapter 5, verses 24 through 28
ministries.
The Bible says, then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written.
It's
many, many tekel epharshim.
And if you don't start praying for
this, is the interpretation of the thing, many. God hath numbered thy
now
kingdom,
then, speaking of things
and it
home,
is finished. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances, and are found.
She's got
wanting
a sister that's 52.
Perry's
52 years old.
Thy kingdom is divided
to have some
and given
surgery done. They knew
to
it
the
was
Medes
cancer already
and Persians.
She went back today to have
our
a cat,
Father and our God,
scan,
we come to
scan,
you. Lord, we stand in need.
Really,
we want you to make this scripture come alive under these folk here at Bethel, under this congregation, Father, here at Bethel, just as you did
bad
in my mind.
Today,
Lord, I want you to take and hide me in you. Let people see the Lord Jesus Christ and not me. Holy Spirit of God, anoint me and use me for thy honor and thy glory, to where that someone may find that which that they are seeking. And Father, for everything that you do, we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Of something that upsets.
Back some years ago,
and so let's pray. Her name is Miss Katrina Brock.
When I was at Minneapolis,
Mike,
there was a show on TV.
To make mention of tonight,
the name of it was Home Improvement, I believe it was.
You come right on.
Tim Allen. It was just a sitcom, a comedy that was on TV that I sort of enjoyed. And I remember one episode where that Tim and his assistant had decided that they was going to check the internals of an engine. And so during the show, it took and showed them being
shrunk up to where they could fit inside of the engine. And as I began to take and read and study and pray and meditate upon this scripture, what if you and I could be shrunk up to fit inside of our own hearts? What would the walls of our hearts say to us? That's a scary thought for a lot of people. It's a sobering thought for us all. And as I began to take and think about this, I thought, well, if I was inside of my heart going throughout the whole area of my heart, I would assume that it would be like being in a movie theater and looking around to see all the different areas, to see what the coming attractions was or what was upcoming. And the Lord revealed unto me the first and foremost thing that the walls of my heart would be is whose story would be told. Would it be my story? Philippians 3 verses 4 through 9, the Bible says this, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I the more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me? But what things that were gained to me? Those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Lord of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them as dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. My story began some 2,000 years ago when Christ was born of a virgin, when Christ lived a perfect life, when Christ hung on a cross where that He paid the price for my sin, for your sin, for the sin of the world. But then on that third and glorious day when He arose and claimed victory, that is my story. The chapter of my story began in 1983.
Let's remember.
1983. I've heard a lot of people take and talk, oh, if you don't remember the exact day or the exact time, you may not have got it. Well, I'm here to tell you right now, I can remember bowing down in my bedroom. I still own the house. I remember bowing down in front of my closet and asking Jesus to be my personal Savior, and that is when my walk with Christ began. Okay. That's when my chapter of my story began. I remember the day. I don't know if it was Monday or Friday. I don't know if it was cloudy or stormy or sunshiny, but I do remember that it was of a daytime, and I remember bowing in front of my closet in the bedroom where I was raised and asking the Lord Jesus to become my personal Savior. Yes. The Holy Spirit revealed unto me that I was lost, and apart from Jesus Christ, I had no hope. At one time, if I had been able to have went in the into my heart and looked around at the walls, all they would have been was black. And they would have said, sinner, sinner, sinner. But after that day in 1983, it was in the summer or early fall. I'm not exactly sure the date, so I'm not going to tell you. But since that day in 1983, if I was allowed to go through the deepest and most inner part of my heart, all I could see was redeemed, redeemed. Everywhere I would look, it would say redeemed because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Whose story would be told if you could get inside of your own heart
tonight?
I hope the walls of your heart would say redeemed.
We've just been bombarded with prayer requests.
As I begin to sit and I think about this, I begin to think about it like being a movie.
But I'm glad that we can come to you.
And as I begin to sit and meditate on this,
God, that you're more than able,
you know, we have all kind of ratings for movies. Some of them, some of them shouldn't even be allowed to be
rated. God, you said you never leave us.
Rated, I don't think. They ought to just be threw into the trash before ever be. But that's a different story.
God, we know that you're going to take care of us, no matter what we're facing. And God, that we just
but if you was to take
to your perfect will tonight,
and have the ability,
God, help us in all that we do.
Through the Spirit of God to write what was going on in your own heart, would it be an A rating?
And then we need to be reaching all that we can for Christ, because God, it's going to be too late today. And God, how are we going to feel? God,
or would it be a D rating?
God, people that don't care anymore. God, help us to have tender hearts for the lost.
The psalmist took and said it this way. He said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Psalm 139:1 says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Folks, how many of us on a weekly or monthly basis will honestly get in our prayer closet and ask the righteous, holy, just Father to search us, let alone do it on a daily basis? If you was allowed to walk within the confines of your own heart here tonight, would it have an A, acceptable unto God? Or would the rating of your heart be a D, a disgrace unto God? 1 Thessalonians 5:2 or 5:22 says this, to abstain from all appearances of evil. And I have heard this verse of Scripture debated. I have heard it misquoted. I have heard people try to water it down. I have heard people tell me, oh, all I have got to do is to abstain from all evil. Brother, not to line up with the Word of God. To line up with the Word of God, it says to abstain from all appearances of evil. If it's something that someone could misconstrue as evil, think about your own actions. The Bible takes and tells us that we have liberty. But the Bible also turns right around and tells us to not use our liberty as a cloak of maliciousness. Not to use that liberty we're in as a covering to go out and do just anything we want to do. And folks, that's a shame that they are organized religions that is teaching that out from behind the pulpit. The Bible takes and teaches us that as He is holy, that we are to be holy. I can't be good on my own, but through the blood of Christ, I can. Now, not only would we take and be going through the things that we have seen here so far, the rating of our walls, whose story would we be told? But would the walls of your heart be a story of action and victory? Or would they be one of defeat? Have you ever met a Christian? And I mean, I know that they're good people that go through trouble, but have you ever met a Christian? They never had a good word to say, and their life was always living in defeat. They was drugged down all the time, and excuse me, they walked around like they didn't have the best, like they didn't have a friend in the world, let alone the best friend in the world, Jesus Christ. They was always defeated. They never had no joy. They never had no love. They never had no peace. They never had anything other than the oh me's instead of the praise hymns. I want to tell you something, folks. It's not by the way that I overcome. It's by the way that He overcome. He is my victory. I'm going to tell you something. When I sit down and I watch a movie, you can ask my wife. I'm a big softy. I like it when the hero wins. I like these Yeah. All right, man, I'm getting ready to blow us out of the water. I like it when the boy gets the girl and they fall in love. I like it when the underdog team wins the championship. I like it when the lost pet comes. I like it when people have given up hope. There's no way that can ever happen. And you're getting ready to change a TV channel. And uh-oh, here comes Lassie limping home. I like a story of victory. Romans chapter 8 tells us, and if you doubt what's coming out from behind this pulpit, take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 8, and you will see, Christians, we win. Romans 8, verse 31 says, what shall we say then? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 37 says this, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Can you imagine being more than a conqueror? More than a conqueror. You have been out in battle. You have done won every battle that you have faced that day. And you think, how much better can it get? So you go back to home camp. You're wore out when you get there. And guess what? They've got a feast of victory waiting on you. All I can say is glory to God. That's the way it's going to be for us one day. When we have finally claimed the victory. When we have finally seen Jesus face to face. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 is going to truly come alive, and we're going to see that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. That gives me hope. In today's society, in today's economy, in the things that's going on in the world, it's awful easy for a lot of people to want to just sit down. They just want to sit down and holler, "Oh me, oh my." What about turning around and saying, "To God be the glory"? This is temporary. This is eternal. Where's the importance? This soon passed by. My Jesus has been, is now, and will always be. He's the conqueror. He's the victor. He's the one that I'm looking for to get me through this temporary setback. He's the one that when I want to sit down, that comes by and picks me up. When my head's hanging so low and I feel like that I cannot hardly figure out how to go, when I feel like that a snake would have to climb a 10-foot step ladder to look me eyeball to eyeball, all of a sudden there'll be something having this precious book in my hand or a precious prayer in my hand. He'll come by and he'll pick you up. "Hey, look, I died for you. I died for you." And then you begin to think, "Now, wait a minute. Why?" "Because I love you." "Why do you love me?" "Because I knew you and I still loved you. I knew you was going to have these up days, you was going to have these down days, but I love you. I know that one of these days you was going to be losing your hair and losing your looks, that you aren't going to be near as pretty as you used to be as a baby. But I love you. I knew that one of these days you may not have the money that you do right now, but I love you. Things may not be going as good for you now as they used to, but I love you." Then we want to wonder what the story of the inside of our heart would be telling. Would it be one of action and victory or one of defeat? Jesus took it and he said it this way: "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend." I've had some friends that I truly love. But the love that I have for them, it's conditional. You say, "Well, preacher, that ain't hardly right." It's easy to love someone as long as they're loving you back, isn't it? But I'm going to be right real honest about it. And I love a lot of you folk. But if it come down to me having to give up the only possession that I truly have, which it's not mine, I'm bought with a price. But if I had to lay down my life for you, I'm afraid I'd have to turn around, pat you on the back and say, "Oh, buddy, I'm going to have to go think long, hard, and serious about this. And I may never come back through those doors." But Jesus willingly laid down his life for all that would believe upon him. John, speaking of which, John 10:18, Jesus said this: "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. You want to know if the inside of the walls of my heart would be one of victory or defeat? I can honestly tell you they would be one of victory, because Christ resides within me. The Holy Spirit of God indwells me. My victory is because of Christ's victory. Luke 24 verses 1 through 5 says this: Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came upon the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? Christ had already arose. He had already claimed the victory. And because of His victory, I can now have victory. Christians, we win because Christ won. We win because we have put our faith and our confidence in Him, not in our accomplishments. If you look at me and you're depending on me to do very, very much for you, I'm going to let you down. But I want to tell you tonight about one that rose on that third day, that overcame death, hell, and the grave. He conquered it all. He arose. He arose, and He had victory with Him. And because of His victory, He imparts it to you and I. My victory is in Jesus, and I pray that yours is too. The Bible takes and says this. Well, let me back up here and start this point. Would your walls be in focus? Have you ever been to a movie and it's fuzzy, hard to see? I remember back years ago when a VCR come out, it used to have this thing that they called tracking on it. And if the tape was scratched or you had a cheap VCR like I did, it would track all the way through the movie, and sometimes it's untelling what you thought you was watching. Thought, well, that would have been a good movie if it had been what had been in the box. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Back up and make two points here. As we read on down there, we see that we're to present our bodies wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. You know what that literally means? A reasonable service is the very least that you and I that have been blood-bought can do. You turn around and step on down there in Romans 12, verse 2. The Bible says, And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Do you know what the literal translation there of conformed is? Don't be so camouflaged in with this world. Back some years ago, I wasn't living like I should. I was out of church. And I thought when the week that I was home from trucking that I would start me a sideline business playing with motorcycles. I had a little bit of artistic talent and painting and customizing one thing and another, and that's beside the point. But Lou and I, we went to a couple of bike dealerships, and me clean cut, sort of kind of like I am now. dressed in, and I'm not putting anyone down, don't misunderstand. But I just didn't fit in with the people. And I told Lou, I said, if I want any of their work, I'm going to have to start sort of looking like them. So I began to let my hair grow a little long. I began to let my goatee grow a little long. Before long, I could put ponytails in my goatee just to fit in. Oh, I was a beautiful sight. Ugliest thing I ever seen. I was out one night on my motorcycle that I'd put together. Been out riding, full biker gear, skull bucket helmet, bandana where I could pull up over my face, leather. And I'm not putting anyone down, don't misunderstand, but the point I'm getting ready to make is I walked into a store below my house, and there was a preacher there that I loved dearly, that has been like a brother, a mentor to me throughout my life for the past 20 years, I would say. I had these dark tinted sunglasses on, this little skull bucket helmet, and he was standing at the cash register as I walked through the door. And as I walked through the door, I swung the door open and I seen him. I reached over and patted him on the back and called him by name. I walked on over to where they sold the soda and the water. Came back and he was still standing in line. And by this time I had slid my helmet and bandana off where my face was beginning to show. And then I spoke to him. Well, Brother Ronnie, I didn't even recognize you. I didn't know what to do at that time. I thought, here's a man of God that I've loved and respected for years, and because of my appearance, didn't even recognize me. Needless to say, it did not take me long for Romans 12:1-2 to be bored deep within the innermost part of my heart. And I decided that if it meant me getting to paint a few custom motorcycles, do some custom work, that's okay. I was getting along before I decided to do it, and I would get along after I decided not to do it. That if it meant that I had to look in a way that I had to be so camouflaged in with the world that a dear pastor friend of mine could not even recognize me just from my appearance, not to mention actions, those motorcycles wasn't worth it. You talk about someone, it's almost 3 miles from that store to my house. I don't remember if I cried all the way home or if I just felt like it. But instead of me being this tall, I felt about this tall. Because at that very moment when he told me that he did not even recognize me, told me that I had become conformed or camouflaged to this world, and it broke my heart. And then that began things in my heart, that began God to allow me to explore the areas of my heart and find out what those motives was. To find out why. To find out what changed. You know, one of the biggest things that I found, the reason that I became conformed to this world, the reason I wanted to blend in, was over a dollar. God help us to never compromise for the sake of a dollar. I found some interesting statistics and we'll close. 72% of people, now this is on the internet, I want to say that it was an under one of the surveys that Lifeway done. The first statistic is the rest of them come from a survey in USA Today. The first one, out of I forget how many people was polled, 72% of people polled said that the church people they know does not act like church people. God help our nation. The surveys by USA Today says 22% of Americans never go to church, not even on religious holidays. 52% of those surveyed agree that Jesus died and came back to life, but yet 22% are never in church. But only 52% of Americans agree that Jesus died and rose again. 61, this bothers me. 61% of Americans say that God, the God that you and I serve, the God of creation, is no different than any other worshiped deity. What is our nation coming to? 86% of those surveyed say that they can have a good relationship with God without the local church. 79% say that Christianity today is more about being an organized religion than serving the Lord Jesus Christ, loving Him, and loving their brothers and sisters. Folks, we're failing. 78% of those surveyed by USA Today also made this statement that broke my heart. 78% of these same people said they would be willing to listen if someone would be willing to share their personal relationship with Jesus Christ with them. 78% said, I'll listen to you if you'll sit down and tell me about Jesus. Of those surveyed say that they have at least one close friend that professes to know Christ. But yet then we've got what? 78% that would be willing to listen to. Folks, are we failing? What's on the insides of our heart? What are our walls saying? This was an astonishing thing. One more statistic. Two more statistics. 71% of people surveyed say that believing in the Lord Jesus Christ has a positive impact on daily living. Who's being let down? You think missions is not important? You think supporting Brother Darren and the ministries of this church is not important. You think praying for our missionaries are not important? From the, what I have gathered out of this survey, we have got people that are almost begging to hear the gospel. And I'm afraid that we have become so conformed to this world that sometimes we're ashamed